This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Rich Bradbury. Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Explores. This is that show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. For several years, Malaysia has set its sights on enhancing gender diversity within the echelons of corporate leadership, where women occupy at least 30% of leadership positions across corporate boardrooms and decision-making tables. Now, back in 2011, the government of Malaysia, in collaboration with Bursa Malaysia, took significant steps by mandating that all public listed companies strive for a minimum of 30% women representation on their corporate boards, initially aimed at the top 100 PLCs. Now, this policy was later extended to encompass a broader spectrum of companies to create a more balanced and dynamic leadership landscape. Now, as women ascend to leadership roles, their voices become influential drivers of change. The push for increased female representation in leadership roles is not merely a response to social pressures, but reflective of a progressive step towards fostering innovation, decision-making quality, and overall corporate performance. So looking at these multifaceted impacts of female representation in leadership roles and exploring the tangible benefits and potential drawbacks of a set target, with me today is Christine Sturck, the Chief Business Officer at Pulsify. Welcome to the show, Christine.
Thank you, Richard. Pleasure always.
Always a pleasure to have you here. It wasn't too long ago that we were here in the same spots having a bit of a different conversation. Folks, if you want to take part in this conversation, though, get us via our U-Mobile WhatsApp number. It is 018-789-8899. You can get us on X. We are at BFM Radio. Let's talk about your experience and, in your opinion, how has this push towards this 30% target for women in leadership roles impacted Malaysian companies, both in terms of corporate culture and in terms of their business performance, would you say?
Interesting. The initiative is a great initiative. Having quotas in place actually start the conversation and start the initiative of getting women into positions of decision-making. I feel that having an impact on culture, if a woman is given true decision-making power, it has an immense impact. The numbers show that it powers innovation. It creates better decision making. There's so many metrics that lead towards being inclusive and having a diverse leadership team. Quota, as you know, is a challenge though, because if a quota is just in place for the purpose of having women numbers, then it may be not affecting the kind of change that we want to see.
Mm. Let's talk about your experience then. How has that been? I mean, you told me outside that, you achieved what you've achieved, not necessarily by being put in place, but by fighting your way there, right?
Absolutely. I mean, back in the day, building a business in Malaysia, and as a woman, I needed a front man in order to communicate with, because there was no way that people would talk to me as a woman. And I recall very vividly having to fight hand, tooth and nail to prove in every element that I was as strong as the men that I worked with, that I had the technical capability, that I had the business acumen to be able to lead. And it did feel at the time like a consistent battle. I think what we spoke about was at the pinnacle of achievement. I remember standing on a stage and someone saying to me, you're a token white chick. And thinking at the time, how is it that I fought hand, tooth and nail, and after everything that I'd been through, was I still considered just a woman that was given that token role?
And in my mind, there would have been a few expletives going off in my head as well.
Yeah, but it was just, I felt very disappointed. Yeah. I felt like, how is it that I was still put into a position of just being a woman in that role? And I felt like I hadn't really achieved anything at the time, despite having achieved so much. And I think that's part of what the drive is at the moment, is how do we recognize that women have the talent and the skill to be in those positions? because true diversity is differences in thinking. True diversity is what I bring to the table that is different from other people that they bring to the table. It's not necessarily just women, men, but full inclusion. Mm. So I feel that it's important that we don't put a gender label, but rather a skill label on what, when we're trying to build diverse teams. Mm.
I think that's kind of a very similar position that I take as well. You know, I mean, I think the idea of putting it in as a quota originally was a good idea.
Yeah, it was a great idea.
But now it's come to the point where, in my mind, I don't think you need that number anymore. I think we have broken, I do believe, here in Malaysia, that 30% barrier. I think we're at about 34.6%, something along those lines. But you're right. I think diversity is perhaps the new phrase, but I think that's what people are starting to use now, isn't it? You know, over 30% diversity within the boardroom.
Diverse thinking and diverse innovation that comes with that. What we're seeing internationally is more looking at skill set and looking at competencies as opposed to gender. Yes, we need to meet the gender quota, but we really need to anonymize when we're selecting people. If we put women in positions where they're disempowered, where they're put into a category rather than being able to celebrate their skills and celebrate their talent, that's not diversity. Mm. What that's doing is actually contradicting and counteracting what we're trying to achieve.
So beyond numerical targets, how can the success of gender diversity or any diversity initiatives be measured in terms of their impact on innovation, their decision-making, overall business health?
So we look at a quota of 30%, but if we really look, I mean, McKinsey and Company in their Global Institute report found that narrowing the gender gap has a $12 to $28 trillion impact on global GDP. Forbes says that inclusive teams make better decisions 84% of the time. Mm. It's overwhelming that if we actually recognize diversity and recognize that innovative thoughts and innovative behavior and not all thinking alike actually has a massive impact on company revenues, company performance, particularly coming into the space now, we're about to see a technological shift like we've never, ever had before in history. Mm. We talked about AI and the impact of generative and ambient AI, which is about to occur. And if we don't have diversity in our teams and if we're not really looking at the skill set of our teams, we're not going to make it through this period. Mm. We're not, because if we're still thinking in very traditional ways and we're still stuck in our methodology of the way that we've run our businesses and the way that we're communicating with the people and the way that we're managing our staff, we can't possibly move forward. Mm. So this is essential. It is essential that women are included in business as thought leaders, as decision makers, as drivers of change within businesses, or we literally won't survive.
Would you say then that this 30% target is now a ceiling rather than a floor for gender equality?
Absolutely.
And diversity?
It should be the floor. It should be, okay, let's look at how do we get women completely, fully active in the workplace. And it's not about equity or quota. It's about equality. And when we look at equality, we look at the differences between men and women. And how do we create a workspace that truly recognizes the differences and enables women, despite the limitations with regard to family, et cetera, that actually enable us to do all that we can do and actually perform in a skill, in a role that requires a certain skill as opposed to what we're determining that role is.
I mean, it bothers me because, you know, I have spoken to companies, and obviously I'm not going to name who they are, but they have reached that quote-unquote quota of 30% women. And they've gone, okay, that's it, we've done enough. We've reached our target. How do you then speak with these people and say, look, that's just not enough? You know, and it's not about reaching a quota. It's about enabling your staff. It's about making sure your company has the best chance of survival moving forward by having this these diverse people on board, whether or not they are men, women, or people of alternate genders or whatever. You know, how do you have that conversation? How do you start that conversation with somebody who, in their mind, is so stubborn, if you like?
So for the first time in history, technology actually has a solution for this. And technology and artificial intelligence now can look at leadership teams and actually look at whether the leadership team has the right mix of diversity in order to optimize performance of the company.
Right.
And that's really interesting, because when we stop looking at quotas and gender and we look at the optimal performance of the team, there's a very high percentage of females in that mix. Mm. And it depends on the company. It depends on the industry. It depends on a lot of things. But at the end of the day, it's about what is the skill that's required and the mindset, the thinking that's required, the behavior that's required in order to optimize company performance. And that's what we're looking at instead.
Okay. Let's take a short break. Folks, you are tuned in, of course, to Enterprise Explores. This is the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. I'm Rich Bradbury. So we are looking at how female representation, leadership roles, the impact of increasing that, and exploring how a set target could influence corporate behavior, potential limitations, alternative approaches. We'll be chatting all about that after these messages here on BFM 89.9.
Begin fun moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome back to Enterprise Explores. We're discussing the impact of increasing female representation in leadership roles and exploring how having a set target could influence corporate behavior, potential limitations, and alternative approaches for fostering genuine diversity. I'm speaking with Christine Sturck, the Chief Business Officer at Pulsify. Okay, I guess the next question then is, how do we get over these barriers to achieve, for a company that doesn't have 30%, all right, or are looking to go beyond that? How do we achieve this, get over women into leadership goals, particularly here in Malaysia? And what do you think companies can do, first of all, to address that and, address these challenges? And can you give me some strategies, perhaps?
I think the first step is to recognize that in order to be successful in business, women do not have to be like men.
Right.
That's the first rule. Women have commitments of a family, commitments with older parents. There's lots of elements that create an unequal situation with women in the workplace. When we as companies recognize that and work collaboratively with women in order to help women to achieve and be all that they can be, it has some massive impact. A sense of belonging, where I feel I've been heard, I feel that I belong in an organization and I'm able to thrive, increases productivity 56%. There's lots of numbers around this. I feel that companies just need to listen to women. That's the most important thing. Put in procedures to support women if they go through domestic violence. Have a conversation about how are the kids getting to school? What's happening at home? How can we support you better? When you travel, what happens to your child when you travel? Rather than just expecting that they have everything in place. Have the conversation, because women that feel that the company is in it with them will contribute with loyalty and performance at a far, far higher rate than companies can ever imagine.
Have you seen pushback against this whole 30% thing?
I could not repeat the number of times that I've been told a woman or a certain race was just a quota, and the derogatory comments that come with that. I mean, it's continual in business that you are put into a box as a female. The number of board meetings I've walked into that the only comment was on my appearance, rather than the content of what you're saying. It's endless from that perspective. What we're seeing now, though, is anonymizing. We can't fight what has been ingrained in culture forever, which is that women have a certain space and men have a certain space. That's ingrained in culture. We can't fight that overnight. What we can do is take away the elements that are actually stopping women from succeeding, and that is, let's look at skill and let's turn the dialogue into one of what is the skill required to create a diverse leadership team? What is that skill? And then let's look at quota. So if I look at the skill set required, the mentality, the thinking, et cetera, I can create that space. I think you can't go back to telling a little boy that he's not a sissy. That's something so heavily ingrained. But we can talk about intelligence and behavior, and that will have a much stronger impact.
And do you see different behavior in the different places that you've been? I mean, let's look at the ASEAN region, for example. You know, Malaysia is a very specific example. You know, have you seen this kind of a different approach here in Malaysia compared to other countries?
Yes. We see chauvinistic behavior everywhere. I think in Malaysia, I haven't seen a resistance to women being allowed in the door. In fact, actually, the resistance is very low. I found Malaysia as a company, as a country, as a culture, very, very open to including women. Where I see it's interesting in Malaysia is in the decision-making power. Although I'm sitting at the table, it doesn't necessarily mean I have a voice at the table and that my voice is heard. And they're two different things. Whereas I feel that in perhaps in Australia, it might be more difficult for me to get a seat at the table, but when I'm there, I'm heard. So it's a slightly different cultural dynamic. I do see that as a woman, I'm very, very often in Malaysia placed into a box as a woman, and you know, there's a continual limitation on what I can do, and we need to fight through that. But I think in general, Malaysia opens the door very easily.
How do you fight through that?
Prove yourself.
Just prove yourself.
You prove
right?
yourself. You prove yourself. You ignore the voices, and you prove yourself. And you don't listen to the noise, and you don't listen to the comments. You shut them out, and you move forward. And the comments are not just from the comments for women in business are not just from men trying to put women in the place. It's also from women that are you know, that believe that a woman cannot be a mother, effective mother, and an effective homemaker, as well as a businesswoman. And actually, that's not true. Women can effectively manage these tasks, and not perhaps in the traditional way that we all understand it, but definitely effectively.
And we've started to see that in a number of startups here in Malaysia as well. Particularly in the past few years, we've interviewed and spoken with many young women who started off at home as a homemaker, you know, with a couple of kids, and they started their own business. Suddenly they've become very, very popular, started to make a lot of money. And you can hear them coming out with a voice that previously they've not had before. Does an element of success help that woman have a louder voice, do you think?
Yes. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Once there is proof that you have achieved, people will listen. And that's important. It's important that women are heard. It's important that young girls have role models, and not role models that show that women have to work 100-hour weeks in order to be able to be successful, but role models from women that show that, you know what, you can be a loving mother, you can be an amazing parent as well as have a strong career, and you can juggle these things effectively. But it takes a support network around you. It takes corporations that support and understand that the uniqueness of women is important in the workplace, and that there's support required in order to be able to provide that.
Did you have a role model in terms of your business career?
Not really. I just remember thinking, I just need to get it done. I pushed through very, very hard to get it done, but not really. I mean, in the time when I built the business in Malaysia, it was a very, very male-oriented a very, very male-oriented industry. And I think that I didn't think of myself as a female or a male. I thought of myself as a business person that just needed to get to where I got. Maybe what drove me at the time was not thinking about gender, actually just thinking about success.
Do you think there are enough do you think there are enough female role models now for younger up-and-coming women who want to start a business here? I mean, Vivi Youssef comes springs to mind as somebody who's particularly successful.
I think there are a lot of successful women. I think there are a lot of successful women. I think that it doesn't counter the extraordinary pressure that's placed on young girls to stay in a box. I think that the extraordinary pressure placed on young girls from their parents, from their peers, to be female, as to what we perceive as female, actually counteracts the drive for career. And so what we're seeing is the women that do succeed tend to be sacrificing
something,
career and or long-term relationships in order to be able to manage that. And that's super sad because it shouldn't happen like that. We should be able to do both.
What are your final thoughts on this discussion that we've had today? What would you suggest to both companies and women who are pondering this? What would your final thoughts be?
It's possible. It's possible to have a career and be a mom and be a spouse. It's all very, very possible. We are no longer, our future success is no longer determined by what other people say and what history determined as what it should be. We are in a situation like never before that we can determine our future as women. We can drive change inherently. We have more of a voice and we are more important to change than ever before in history. If women don't stand up, if women are not empowered to have a voice, this entire world will be in jeopardy because the world needs us, technology needs us, companies need us in order to change. That's from a female perspective, from a company's perspective. I don't think if we do not include diversity in organisations, if we are not able to move forward and change, we're in dire danger of failing in the future and becoming a statistic. So we need women, more than a quota. We need women for diverse thinking.
Christine, thank you very much for your time today. Folks, I've been speaking with Christine Sturck, the Chief Business Officer at Pulsify. We've been discussing the impact of increasing female representation in leadership roles. If you missed any part of this conversation, don't forget you can download our podcast wherever you normally listen to it. You can go to the bfm.my or you can get the BFM app. That's, of course, available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. Looking ahead, of course, we've got the Breakfast Grill replay. After the 1 o'clock news bulletin, Duro Pharma Biotech had a lackluster 2023 with declines in revenue and earnings, no thanks to higher operational costs and a dip in demand. What's in store for this pharmaceutical company in 2024? Will the company see a recovery? That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news here on BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the Business Station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.